The following essay was originally aired in 2005. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, March 5th, 9:30 a.m. Delta Ponds, Valley River area. Only a few dissolving, wispy clouds remain against a brightening blue morning sky. Floating islands of reddish-purple duckweed break up the azure reflection on the pond's surface. A male song sparrow hops onto a waterlogged, emergent twig, searching for food amongst the floating debris. The bird moves acrobatically along the shoreline, stopping occasionally to belt out a three-part melody that serves as a territorial marker and attests to its good health and suitability as a mate. The plaintive, rusty door hinge calls of red-winged blackbirds and the honking and whistling of waterfowl accompany the sparrow in this marshy spring concert. The surrounding freeway traffic adds an underlying mechanical drone to the acoustic backdrop. The elasticity of plants and animal species allows them to compensate in various ways for the seemingly early arrival of spring. Several filberts and cottonwoods are already displaying their first delicate new leaves. The pink blossoms of an ornamental plum and creamy white cascades of osoberry flowers provide revitalizing color to the drab late winter landscape. Silvery catkins burst from slits in countless yellow buds on willow branches that reach out from the shoreline. A pair of bush tits forages for willow down, which they will combine with lichens and spider silk to construct their unique foot-long hanging pocket nest. Yellow-rumped warblers sally back and forth from flimsy branches, hawking insects in the sunlight. Dozens of ducks and geese cruise quietly over the quiet greenish-brown water. They stop to feed by pivoting forward on their bellies, tails pointing skyward as they reach below the surface with their long necks to grasp aquatic plants that grow on the shallow, muddy bottom. A few Canada geese splash and threaten one another as the urgency to breed begins to overwhelm the group solidarity that has existed throughout the fall and winter. A lone swallow soars high above the red and white radio tower at the north end of the ponds, scooping invisible insect plankton from the air. To the east, 70 feet above the busy freeway, a small heron rookery is bustling with activity. For the last several years, this group of cottonwoods has supported a colony of about a dozen nesting great blue herons. A spotting scope allows me to observe the birds from this half-mile distance without disturbing them. These lanky, 4-foot-tall birds with 6-foot wingspans seem out of place, perched in leafless branches so high above the ground. I count 6 platform nests lodged precariously in the crotches of the tree's upper branches. Males fly in with sticks more than a foot long and a half inch in diameter, gathered from around the area. Their mates remain in the trees, patiently rearranging twigs into a comfortable nest that will soon hold 3 to 5 pale blue eggs. When the cottonwoods leaf out in a few weeks, this colony will become invisible except for a trail of whitewash from the bird's excrement that spills down the outside of the tree's foliage. 50 yards away toward the center of the ponds, a lifeless floating log appears vaguely peculiar. Its upper surface has several regular dome-like bulges. Further scrutiny reveals 6 western pond turtles with their round olive-brown shells aimed directly toward the rising sun. Informed by this display, I notice that other rocks and logs are similarly crowned with basking turtles that have been awakened from hibernation by the unseasonably warm weather. Western pond turtles were once common in western valleys from Washington to northern Baja California. The current population in Oregon is thought to number less than 10% of its historical numbers. Agricultural and urban development, flood control, and predation from exotic species have left only small remnants of the original population in the Willamette Valley. Western pond turtles can live for 50 years or more. They are extremely cautious and have excellent eyesight. As I turn to get a better view, the wary cluster of turtles more than 50 yards away disappears into the water to escape the superficial threat of my sudden movements. Gray whales undertake the longest migration of any mammal, swimming 8 to 14,000 miles round trip every year between their summer range in the North Pacific and their winter range in Baja California. They should be commonly seen during the next several weeks off the Oregon coast as they move northward. Mothers and new calves are often seen swimming close to shore. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.